If you have a Bible with you, you can open to the book of Exodus. We'll look at chapter 20, verse 7 in particular this morning. The text is printed there on the next page of the bulletin. We are giving our attention to the Ten Commandments for a few weeks because our God spoke these commandments, and that's pretty much why we're listening to them. We're listening to Him. He is our God, and He spoke all these words. And so God has been gracious to His people. He's established a relationship with us by His steadfast love, ultimately in Jesus Christ. And so He's not given these commandments to His people so that we could feel good about ourselves. He's not given these commandments so that, you know, maybe if we keep them, we could earn His approval and attain our own righteousness by keeping these commandments. He's given us these commandments so that we might know what kind of God He is, so we could know His character. He's given us these commandments so that we can know what kind of people we are, sort of by contrast. And ultimately, He's given us these commandments so that we might look to Jesus for our salvation, for our righteousness, our justification, our holiness, our whole relationship with God. We need to look to Jesus Christ. So when you talk about these commandments, you have to talk about Jesus, because He is the true God who's revealed by these commandments. It's His character, His nature being revealed here as God. And He's also the true human being who embodies these commandments as one of us. And it's only by His Spirit, His life coming alive in us, that we can come to love God and love His law and even begin to keep these commandments. So the first four commandments explicitly focus our attention on Yahweh, your God, as it says so many times. Yahweh, your God, is the focus of the first four commandments, while the last six commandments primarily address our relationship with each other, with other people. However, they're not so neatly distinct from each other. These relationships are intertwined. Our relationship with God is played out in our relationship with others, and we're meant to relate to others always with reference to our relationship with God. And the intertwining of these commandments starts to become obvious here in this third commandment, which is the commandment that addresses how we speak about God, and the implication being we're speaking to other people about God. And so this commandment is the one that sort of ultimately has to do with our mission in the world, has to do with our evangelism, our sharing of the gospel, the good news of who God is and what He's done for us. So that's sort of how we'll look at it this morning. We pray, then we'll read the scripture. Father, Your words are the most important words that we will ever hear. They have the power to shape our whole reality. By Your Spirit, we pray that You'd make Your word take root in the depths of our hearts, to renew our minds and transform our lives for the glory of Your holy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God spoke all these words, saying, "I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your God, in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, what does it mean to take God's name in vain? Take the name of Yahweh your God in vain. What does that mean? It's common to think that it simply means, you know, sort of swearing and saying things like, "Oh my God," right? Or exclaiming, venting your frustration using words like Jesus or Christ. You know, don't say, "Oh my God," or God will get angry with you. Isn't that what this says? You know, if so, that's about the easiest commandment ever. A couple months of retraining old habits and check one off the list, right? Because, I mean, you know, pretty much the first thing I remember doing when I became a Christian was pay attention to that. Stop swearing and venting frustration and exclaiming using the words God or Jesus. And that was good. That's good. And honestly, not too hard, really. And it was noticeable. It was how one of my best friends actually deduced that I had become a Christian, because he detected that slight change in my language. But that's not really the full significance of this commandment. Yes, God is forbidding the vain, flippant use of His name here. So in English, we're trying to understand what it means to take his name in vain. What's that word vain mean? In English, it has two meanings. We do that with a lot of words. It can mean egotistical, like vain, like the vanity of someone who's always checking themselves out in the mirror. Or second, it could mean like empty, futile, worthless, right? And the Hebrew word here only means that second meaning. Do not use his name in an empty way, in a trivial way. Anyone who uses God's name in their profanity, anyone who uses God's name sort of irreverently or foolish speech, you know, OMG, would probably say they don't really mean anything by it. They're not really thinking about it when they say, oh my God, right? And using his name in a meaningless way, a thoughtless way, that is vain. That's what that word means. So it's an obvious, straightforward, simple application of the gospel. Of course, God wants his name to have meaning when you use it. So use it in vain in a thoughtless way as mere intensifier for, you know, your own flighty emotions is to use it in a way that he doesn't intend. That's the thing. To use it in a way that is contrary to the significance, the purpose for which he gave it to us. Right? So yeah, let's actually pay attention to how we speak about God. He gave us his name for a reason, so that we could use it according to that reason. That is what he is talking about here. And the true significance of that goes way beyond something that you thoughtlessly blurt out, you know, in a few words every once in a while, right? The question we need to ask about the real meaning of the commandment here is, what does it mean to take God's name? Whether you're taking it in vain or otherwise, what does it mean to take God's name? Because Yahweh doesn't just say, you shall not use my name in vain. He doesn't just say, you shall not speak my name in vain. He says, take, which is certainly an interesting choice of words, because the Hebrew word here for take means like carry, like bear and lift up and pick up and take along with you. Right? So it's like when you say, I'm taking the kids to the park. So actually, its primary reason is not, or its primary meaning is not to speak. You're not speaking your kids to the park. You're taking them along with you, transporting them to the park. So this is just like our New Testament reading, Acts 9, which John read at Saul's conversion, when the risen Lord Jesus says about Saul, who will be Paul, he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name to others, to Gentiles and kings and Israel and everybody, right? He's a chosen instrument to carry my name. So taking God's name means receiving it, having it, and taking it with you, carrying it forth into the world. God has given you his name to carry for a reason. So what's a name? You know, what is the purpose of a name? What's a name for? The purpose of a name is relational. It's for identifying a person. It's for knowing a person. It's for addressing a person, having a relationship, right? Speaking to that person, and speaking about that person. A name can be rather an intimate thing. You might not want strangers to know your name. You might not want hostile people, enemies, to discover your name. You might even use fake names where anonymity is preferred. But when you introduce yourself to someone by name and get on a first name basis with someone, you're opening yourself up to relationship with that person. Right? That's what it's for. How do you feel when someone forgets your name? Someone who probably should know your name and they forget. Overlooked, unimportant, unknown. Not much of a relationship there, maybe? How do you feel when your lover whispers your name? It's a thrill of intimacy and connection, right? So this is why God has disclosed his personal name to us, so that we can identify him and know him and address him in relationship He's given us his name. So some will say, you hear this phrase sometime in Christian circles or churches, there's power in the name of God. There's power in the name of Jesus. Yes, but not some impersonal sort of magical power like an incantation. Like if you pronounce that name right, you'll get the blessing. If you mispronounce the name, then it won't work and you won't get the blessing. Right? The power of God's name is in the person that the name represents. And it's in the relationship, the personal knowing, which the name is for, which is what it signifies. So it is a remarkable thing that Yahweh has revealed his name to sinners, to people like us, and he's told us that we may call upon him by name, by his name. We don't just have to use formal honorifics and titles like Lord or King, though those are certainly appropriate to use. Even calling him God, that's fine, sure, but it's just a generic description of a class of being, right? Those people have that God. We have this God, this supreme being. A lot of people refer to God, but which God are we talking about? Which one? We're talking about a specific God with a particular history, who has distinguishing features, who has made himself known in a certain way. And this God gives us the privilege of addressing him by name. That gives us a profound sense of confidence and intimacy and familiarity in our relationship that we don't deserve. Right? It's remarkable. So from the beginning, the one true God has made himself known by the name Yahweh. And in Exodus 34, he reveals himself to Moses and he says, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love to the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. And throughout the scriptures, he's gone by various names. Yahweh, our provider. Yahweh, our healer. Yahweh, our peace. Yahweh, our righteousness. These are names for God that he's revealed in the scriptures. But most importantly, he's told us his name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel. His name is God with us. Right? So the one true God has introduced himself to the world not only by impressive, glorious, divine names. He's introduced himself to the world by a human name, as one of us, with us. Right? So this is a God who wants to be on a first name basis with you, who definitely wants to live in a relationship with you. He wants you to know him, and he wants you to make him known to others. That's why he gives us his name. Okay? To take it to others so that they too can be on a first name basis with God. Names also, they identify us not just as individuals, right? I have a first name, it's Eric, but also as people who are very closely connected to other people. By my last name, Costa, it identifies me as belonging to a group, right? Families share their names. They have a last name in common in our culture anyway. Other cultures, it might be their first name. And often children will be named after, their first name, their personal name, named after their parents or their grandparents or other relatives to show the connections, right? And in marriage, the wife often leaves her old family name behind and takes her husband's family name. So sharing the family name signifies relational belonging. And this is how it is with the one true God of love. The triune God, the God of three persons with one name. Jesus tells us, God himself in the flesh tells us, God's name is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So God's name means eternal belonging. God's name means divine family. God's name means love. So to bear a family name means belonging. It also means it makes you a representative of the family, right? A son carries his father's name forth into the world. And in fact, this is exactly what Jesus Christ, who is the beloved son, this is exactly what he has done. He bears the name of God because he is the eternal son of the father. So God's name is his name, which signifies his belonging to God. And it marks him as a representative of God. And when Jesus came into the world and took on our flesh, he bore the name of God as one of us. Here's a human being fully bearing God's name so that he could share that family name with us, so that he could place it on us and rename us to bless us. So Jesus has said that we can relate to God in his name. When we pray in Jesus' name. We're entering into his relationship with the Father. And that's actually God's own name, God the Son's relationship with God the Father. So he has said we can relate to God in his name. God has given his name to us. In its fullness, he's given his name to us, the name that means eternal belonging and divine love, so that we can know ourselves to be part of his own family. So he's not just told his name to us so that we can use it in our conversation with him and call on him by his name. He's done that. He's not just told us his name. He's made his name ours as he has adopted us as his children. He's given us his name to take, to receive and to have it and to carry it along with us so that we will be known by his name, so that we'll be known as he is known. In order to identify us as belonging to him, as his own beloved son belongs to him, in his family, to mark us out as representatives of that family. That's why he's given us his name. God has associated himself with us in the closest possible way. He has placed his name on us, particularly in his baptism, in our baptism. That's the naming sacrament, the naming ceremony. We're brought into that family, and that family name is placed upon us. We've been baptized into the triune name, the one name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, as Jesus instituted this sacrament, you find it in Matthew 28, it was in the context of sending his disciples out to make other disciples, to take God's name, which had been placed on them, and carry it with them into the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, and introduce others to God so that they could be on a first name basis with him. So if you've been baptized, if you belong to God, you are associated with God and you represent God. You bear his name, which was given in order that he might be known by you and by others. So to take his name as he intends is to bear witness to who God has revealed himself to be in Jesus. It's to honestly and accurately represent how sinners can know God and become part of his family. That's what it means to take his name as he intends. To take his name means advance his reputation into the world so that others might come to know him and relate to him. But we often take his name in vain, which is to say we make little of the fact that God has made himself known to us. That just doesn't really play a big, it's not a big factor in our lives and in our speech. We make little of the fact that we belong to God's family. We misrepresent God or commit sins in his name, on his behalf, as his representatives. Or we tell lies about his character or about his motives. You know, false teachers are taking God's name in vain. That can also mean something like name dropping to get ahead in life or to get out of trouble, using your association with Jesus for your own advantage, for selfish purposes rather than according to the love of God. It can also mean being ashamed of his name. Taking God's name in vain means being ashamed to be known by his name, ashamed of your association with him. rather than proclaiming that association with thanksgiving and with praise. The good news is, we might have been ashamed of Jesus, but Jesus has not been ashamed of his association with us. In Jesus, God has taken our name on himself as his own name, even the name sinner. He's taken that name, that reputation. The Son of God has borne our bad reputation, our bad name, in order to share his good reputation, his good name, with us. So where we might often be ashamed of him, Jesus was willing to be associated with sinners, to belong to sinners, to welcome sinners into his own family and give us a new name and a new identity in relationship with God. In his gracious, sacrificial love, Jesus has truly taken and faithfully revealed the name of God to us. In his love, he has borne the name of God, made it known to us, and shared it with us. Jesus might be the most misunderstood, misrepresented person who's ever lived, but he is able to make himself truly known in his great love, even to sinners like us, even through sinners like us, when we bear his name. Because we know that the name of God is Jesus, because Jesus has carried the name and disclosed it to us and placed it on us, we can know God and we can make him known to others. We know what it means for sinners to belong to God's family by his grace. And we can start to faithfully represent him and introduce him to others. What has not been revealed to us is how perfect people know Jesus, how perfect people relate to Jesus, how perfect people might bear the name of Jesus and take it with them into the world. We don't know what that looks like. We only know what it's like for sinners like us to know Jesus and to relate to him with humility and gratitude and dependence and joy in his grace. And that's exactly the good news other sinners need to hear from us. So that's good. What kind of God gives his name to people like us? Let's not take his name in vain. Let's receive it and carry it with us and take it on our lips as he's intended, for the love of God to make known the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you've told us your name. You've placed it on us. You've made your name ours. You've given us the privilege of representing your family name. These are great gifts that we don't deserve, and we don't do it well. We don't carry your name forth into this world the way Jesus did. We pray that you'd help us to receive this gift through faith in your beloved Son, who has even taken our name upon himself in order to share your good name with us. Help us by the Spirit of your Son to bear faithful witness to you, to claim that association and that belonging, to claim the relationship that you've been willing to claim. We pray that you'd help us, even though we sin, to proclaim the name of the God who has loved us and given himself for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.